The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Paul was a free man, St. Paul, even though he was in prison, even though he was in chains, as he says in Philippians, in chains for the cause of the gospel, yet he did not mourn his condition. He did not lament. Instead, his watchword was rejoice. Rejoice, not in his circumstances, not in the difficulties he was going through, but rather in the Lord. Rejoice and in the Lord go together. And then, once again, to drive the point home, Paul says, again, I will say, rejoice. Now, considering Paul's circumstances, that's a remarkable thing, I believe. Paul suffered for the sake of the gospel. Several times in his epistles and in the book of Acts, we hear about his sufferings. He received 40 lashes minus one several times. He experienced stoning, people trying to kill him, imprisonment, shipwreck, hunger, thirst, deprivation. But all these things, in all his former life as a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, Paul counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And so, St. Paul, in prison, looked beyond the bars, looked beyond the darkness that enveloped him, looked beyond the hardship and affliction, and saw something to rejoice in, the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, this isn't some sort of mindless psychological fol-de-rol to try to pump yourself up. It is specifically in the Lord, in Christ, in the Redeemer, in the one who came into this world as the Savior. That's the object and the foundation of our joy as Christians. Now, again, we've all passed through many circumstances where there is no joy in life itself, where we rather feel like mourning, grieving, crying out in lamentation, where we are suffering. And Paul could relate to that, but what's more, our Lord Jesus Christ could relate to that too, because he was tempted in all ways as we are. He took upon himself our suffering humanity in order to save and redeem us. He passed through all the circumstances that we do in life, without sin, of course, in order to redeem all the painful, hurtful, sorrowful experiences we endure. This is the Jesus who was crucified, the Jesus who was resurrected, the Jesus who ascended to God's right hand. This was the Jesus whom St. Paul despised. St. Paul wanted to stamp out this movement of Christianity, this Jesus movement, because he thought it was a heresy. So he became a persecutor of the church. He approved at the stoning of Stephen. Said, yeah, that's right. He received a commission to go to Antioch and find the Christians who were there and bring them to trial. He caused many to suffer. And yet, on the road to Damascus, an experience happened that changed Paul's life. As he was riding along, suddenly There was Jesus, triumphant, ascended at the right hand of God, Jesus in glory. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul, aka Saul, was blinded, and he went on into Damascus, and the Lord sent a believer to baptize Paul, and when he was baptized, scales fell from Paul's eyes, and he began to preach the gospel he had once despised. What an amazing turnaround that is. The persecutor of the church becomes a preacher of the gospel. The one who despised the name of Jesus counted the name of Jesus above all other names and proclaimed nothing but Christ and Him crucified. The one who delighted in and took pride in his own righteousness according to the law suddenly despises his righteousness and wants to boast only in the righteousness of Christ. And the persecutor of the church himself became persecuted. And so he endured imprisonment several times, and yet he counted all things lost for the sake of knowing Christ and Him crucified. So it's from prison that Paul writes his epistle to the Philippians. It's as one who is enduring hardship for the sake of Christ. And he says to the church in Philippi, "Rejoice." And Paul is writing God's word, not merely to the Philippians, but to the church of all ages. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." But what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? That's a question. That's a question we've got to grapple with, because it is so easy for us to count our well-being according to our outward earthly circumstances. If we've got money coming in, if we're in good health, if the economy is going well, if we have a nice house, a nice car, etc., etc., if there aren't any problems in the family, yeah, it's easy to rejoice in that. And yet, what if our circumstances are like Job, where everything is taken away? Family, riches, home, even his own health. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in your circumstances. Not in my circumstances. And here's the reason to rejoice. The Lord is at hand, Paul writes. The Lord is near. How near is the Lord to you? How near is the Lord to me? Well, when we die, whenever that day comes, that hour comes for us, the Lord will be near to us who are in Christ, who are baptized into His name, who cling to Him in humble faith and trust as the only Savior from our sin. We will be received into the open arms of God when we die, trusting in Christ and Him alone. But the Lord is near in another way. Did you know we're living in the last days according to Scripture? Yeah. The last days, and I'm not talking about December 21st, the so-called Mayan calendar. We have been living in the last days since the incarnation of God's Son. In these last days, we read in Hebrews, God has spoken to us by His Son. Peter preaches at Pentecost how we are in the last days, and the next event on God's salvation timetable, if you will, is the return of Christ. and we know not the day nor the hour. Yet when he returns, he comes as a liberator. He comes as one who will set us free from the difficulties and hardships and sorrows and sufferings we face in this world, in this life. He comes to make all things new again. This is why Psalm 98 says, it's wonderful. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. The judgment of the Lord is nothing to fear when you are in Christ. The judgment of the Lord is past you, and Jesus endured that judgment in your place on the cross. So you can rejoice when he comes to judge the world. You can rejoice because he comes to strike the chains of your mortality off of your hands and make you immortal and give you a new life. An entirely new life, the life of God lived out in body and soul in the entirety of your being. Does that sound good? It did to Paul. He said, "It's better for me to depart this body and be with the Lord." That was his fervent belief. And with that belief, he could rejoice. But there is another way the Lord is at hand. Do you know how that is? It's important. It's vitally important for your life of faith in this world. He's at hand in his word. He's at hand near to you in the proclamation of the gospel. He was near to you in your baptism and remains near to you and draws you to himself continually in repentance and faith to look to him alone as your strength, your help, your fortress, your hope, your salvation. He is near to you in the very gift of his body and blood that you partook of this morning. He is near to you to save you, to forgive you, to comfort you, so you can be declared righteous, so you can rejoice in his salvation. The Lord is at hand. He's at hand for you, not against you. So Paul goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything because of this Emmanuel, this God who is with you. Don't worry. Don't fret. Christ has come into the world. Christ has endured suffering and hardship for you. Christ has borne away your sins. And he who conquered sin and death and hell by his own sufferings and death and by his resurrection is with you to help you bear whatever you face in life. And you can call upon him, for he delights in you. You have a heavenly Father who has declared you to be his dear, beloved children in Christ. Come to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, for he does not despise those requests. Now, it's true. Sometimes he does not answer prayer the way you and I would like. But Jesus says that our Heavenly Father will never give us a stone if we ask for bread. He will never give us a scorpion if we ask for a fish. Sometimes we ask for a scorpion and he gives us something in its place and we're disappointed because we had our hearts fixed on the wrong thing. But God gives us exactly what we need in every circumstance of life, even in the difficult times. And He hears your prayer. Do not despair. You have a Father who loves you for Jesus' sake. Do not despair. Continue steadfast in prayer, in praying for others, in praying for this church and the church in all the world, in praying for Christians who are suffering and enduring the cross even now for the sake of Jesus. Let your request be made known to God. And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Not peace as the world gives, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one who, following His resurrection, appeared to His fearful disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus proclaims His peace to you in the very liturgy of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. And we have that peace in Christ. And yeah, it's beyond all human understanding. How we can be content. How we can be certain, even in the face of terrible adversities. But God, your Heavenly Father, gives you just what you need when you need it. He gives you the cross to bear when you need to bear the cross. He gives you the strength and the patience to bear that cross. He brings you through that episode of cross-bearing into a place that is fertile and green and spacious and restful. This is a peace that surpasses all understanding. And this peace of God, it comes from God. It is peace with God that you have entered into by God's grace. By grace are you saved. By grace you have peace with God. This peace of God guards your hearts and your minds. The image Paul uses there is something very close to his experience. It is the image of a guard in prison. The very guard who stood outside Paul's door, the door to his cell. The very guard who held the spear. The very guard who was assigned to Paul, and if he tried to escape, would strike him down. See the highlighting here. Paul was under guard as a prisoner for the sake of the gospel, and yet the peace of God guarded him, even in his adversity. And so it is true for you and me as well. It will guard this peace of God, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there it is again. There's the bookend to our epistle lesson this evening. Rejoice in the Lord, and this peace which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So rejoice. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is present for you. He is Emmanuel, God with you. He is the one who has promised never to leave you nor forsake you, no matter what your circumstances are in life. He is the one who has promised never to leave nor forsake His church, and has promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. And that is true for us at Mount Olive. Christ is in our midst. Christ is present with us. Christ and the peace with God that he has made by his death and by his resurrection guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.